Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and returning, I think, is this like the first time of 2019?
Yes, because I think the last time I was on was right after the new iPad came out in November.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I feel like that's it. Michael Boothinger Powers. Boothinger, yes. 81 Powers.
Yes. Welcome back, of course.
Thank you.
I don't know if you've been keeping up on the show. Like, I've had a rotating panel of guest hosts or flying solo. Or interviewing people.
I'm going to be honest. I've gone like full on head in sand when it comes to anything. I skim Twitter now. I don't like actively read it. I listen to one podcast and only one podcast, and I listen to like the same episodes on repeat. Like,
which
they release. It's Retronauts.
Oh, okay.
They release a new episode every Monday, and I gobble that one up, and then I go and listen to an episode that I've probably listened to, like, you know, two dozen times. Like, but I think part of it is, like, I'm not listening to any modern podcasts. Like, I don't listen to any modern movie podcasts. I'm not listening to any modern gaming podcasts. Like, I'm just not. I think I've gotten to that point in my life where, like, I know what I like, and that's perfectly fine. Like, I'm just going to stick in my wheelhouse. And it's just like, I just like listening to these guys. I think I've said on this podcast before about this podcast, that I'm listening to. I've listened to them for, 13 years now. So, that's something, right? Listening to the same podcast for 13 years.
Oh yeah, totally.
So, and I just recently, back in December, I signed up for my first Patreon, which was their podcast.
Nice.
So I just, you know, I give them $3 a month, and, I get to listen to all their stuff ad free. Not that the ads were that bad in the first place, but it just makes their episodes a little shorter because they don't have to read ads in the middle of them. But, I felt like, you know, you guys have consistently given me great content for 13 years. I'm going to go ahead and I'll throw you a bone here. So that's been kind of nice, and I don't miss it, the $3, you know. So
yeah, that's a pretty minuscule amount per month to kind of fork over.
Yeah, I mean, they have more tiers, but I decided and you know what, I did subscribe to another one because I was listening to another podcast made by the same, like a splinter group, but from like the same guys that do the Retronauts podcast. It was called What a Cartoon.
Okay.
I was listening to that, and if you don't subscribe, you get their Simpsons. They have a Simpsons, Talking Simpsons podcast, and then they have a What a Cartoon podcast. And if you just subscribe to them on iTunes, there are two separate feeds, so you can just subscribe to What a Cartoon, which I think is a great format for me personally, because they break it down. They break cartoons down into two part. It's like a two part episode for a cartoon. The first half of the episode is talking about the cartoon overall, like the whole history of said cartoon, and then they pick what they seem to be what they believe to be the best episode of said series, and they do a deep dive on that episode. Which is I think that's a really cool format. And I wanted to. And around Christmas time, when I was signed up for the Patreons, one of the reasons I did is because they set up this. They were going to start doing the What a Cartoon deep dive on movies, and their first one was going to be on Mask of the Phantasm. And they were only going to make it available to Patreon subscribers, and you had to pledge $10. Which, okay, that's not that big of a deal because I listened to their What a Cartoon stuff. But when you pledge that $10, you get one feed that lumps in their Talking Simpsons and What a Cartoon. And okay. I basically canceled my Patreon because I didn't want to sort through their Talking Simpsons episodes. Because what I do when I go to sleep is I just turn on a podcast, like from a certain podcast, and I'll just let it play until I take my headphones out. And what I don't want to do is go from like listening to them talk about Batman Heart of Ice into a Simpsons episode that I care nothing about. So like that feed became useless to me as like I'm going to sleep type podcast.
Because they bundled it with something you care nothing about.
Exactly. So I was like, you know, I would have kept paying you $10 for just a split out feed of What a Cartoon, but I can get What a Cartoon separately if I don't pay you anything, but I just can't get your movie podcast, which that's fine with me. So this is a really weird tangent. I don't know how we got here talking about other podcasts.
Well, you were stating what you'd been doing lately, more or less.
Yeah.
I went through, as I mentioned, off air, like, because the whole being unemployed thing. I started writing for a tech website out of Phoenix, Arizona. Towards the end of February, and I've probably gotten somewhere in the neighborhood of like close to 40 articles written on there since then, which is a pretty sizable amount.
Yeah,
and it's for consumer electronics and things like that. So like I've written on things from the smart speakers to, you know, like I've written about the iPad at one point. I've written what's sad is I have a document with like, because it's freelance, I have to do my own invoicing. So I have to like link to the articles. And so I have to have like all the titles and everything and what they are, because I can't remember. And, so like I've had like, you know, Windows tips and like new car tech and, you know, they had a story about the last Blockbuster in existence.
Okay.
Like there was like two left and one was in Australia. One's in like
Alaska,
Oregon.
I thought there was one in Alaska.
That one closed. That was like the third from the last.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought that was the last, like at one point when we were doing the podcast a couple of years ago, but apparently it wasn't, because this one that's left, in Oregon, they sell like, you know, the last Blockbuster t-shirts, like, and I guess it's because most of their town is, kind of anti-streaming. They're like elderly, so they don't do the whole streaming thing, so they rent videos, which I think everybody, it's funny that they're like so on the Blockbuster thing when like Family Videos seem to be popping up everywhere. But yeah, so there was that, and like I've had, you know, like tutorials and a variety of other things, you know, from mobile apps to streaming to downloading, you know, VPN, health apps and things like that. So, yeah, it's, you know, I had to write an article on 5G, which was interesting. But, yeah, it definitely makes me have to research a lot when I don't know something.
Now, are you... are you picking your... like what you want to cover, or is someone handing you stories to write and research?
90% of the time I'm handed a story. But they more or less tell me, this is what we want you to talk about. You know, like this is the topic, but go nuts and do whatever you want.
Okay.
So, they're like, don't sugarcoat it. Like even if it's a sponsored, be true to it. Like they're like, we want like, basically transparency. Like don't, if you don't like it, if you don't, you know, agree with it, don't purposely side with it because it's an article that's on the site. They're like, just write it how it, you know, basically be critical of it if it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, I'm good with that. Because there's been a few things I'm like, eh, no. And I always go over the word count. I can't help it. But I don't know. They like what I'm writing. So I guess that's a good thing. So I got my next one I got to write is on DVRs and whether, you know, why you might still need or want one. And I'm trying to mull that one over. Which I can think of benefits. I mean, because it's digital stuff, so as opposed to recording with an old VHS tape or something, which yeah. I've done that in the past. So yeah, that's part of what I've been doing amongst other things, and kind of playing around with the whole video thing again, and I've been experimenting with Discord.
Okay.
And I figured that out with Birdman Dodd because he, for whatever reason, cannot use Skype on his computer. I don't know if it's because he's messed something up. I don't know if it's because of the version or some settings that are wrong that he's just completely oblivious to. But I have to communicate with him using Discord or he cannot hear me, which is the weirdest thing. So, I do say, though, I have noticed that Discord, there's a program called Craig that's an add-in or extension that you can record your Discord conversations.
Okay.
And it puts them on two different tracks, and it records them in WAV format, like RAW. So they're not, like, compressed MP3.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
And it's actually really nice because, and it puts them on separate tracks. So like everybody that's on it is on a separate track.
I like that because like when I first started trying to do my podcast, like I was gonna go whole hog. Cause one of the nice things about like the program I use for editing podcasts when I did, it was called GarageBand on the Mac. And their AIM client at the time, for anyone that doesn't know what that is, it's the AOL Instant Messenger. You know, if you started a conference, if you started a video chat or a VoIP chat using that and you opened up GarageBand and started a recording, it would put everyone that you were in that group chat in on its own separate channel in the recording. And then after when I couldn't make that work, obviously, because I would have people like locally or, you know, Skype just didn't work that way because eventually no one used AIM anymore. So that program became useless. One of the things we did was I would have everyone record their own. I would do a master record. And then I would have everyone record their own tracks on their own computer.
Okay.
And then I would have them send them to me in Dropbox. And I would drop them in on their own line and sync everything up. And then when that got tedious, I found a way to at least make myself separate and then have Skype dump everything coming from Skype on its own track. Nice. So at least my audio is separate. So I've done all the different ways. I just think it's really nice when you can have that separated audio because then you can adjust levels per track rather than risk effing everything up because one person gets a little too loud.
Yeah, and that was part of it too, is like I was always like normal and he would be either high or low. So he would either peak really bad or he would not be talking loud enough. Which was always part of the problem anyway. And for Skype, I use MP3 Skype recorder, which is free. I mean, for the fair use of 30 hours a month, basically. And when you do stereo, you can have, you know, if you've got two people, it's basically you and, the other person on a separate track. So it still kind of does that, but it's still compressed as MP3. So it's not as perfect as it could be, per se. And so that's, in that case, that's where I like the, how Discord does it is, you can kind of choose, there's like four different formats. You can do the, like the O, the OOG or the FLAC or Wave, or I just go for general Wave just because it's what I know. And I know my program will open it. So I go with that route. Either way, it's a large file. So it's, something I have to download as a zip, and then it extracts, and then I get all the different tracks and the metadata and everything else. So it kind of helps fill that out. But I have noticed that it's much nicer when you go down to the compressed MP3 when you've edited by using that. And I was kind of surprised how well it worked.
Well, yeah, because I think one of the things when I first started hearing about content creation or getting into content creation myself, I picked up on the saying, it comes from YouTube really more so than audio, but it's garbage in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, even though, you know, YouTube is going to compress the crap out of something, you might think like, well, I'm only going to render this out at this resolution because YouTube's just going to jank it up anyways. No, you want to go, you know, you want to render it as high at as high a resolution or produce it as high as a quality as you can. And then let YouTube F it up.
Yep.
Because, and I believe that goes for audio too. Like, you know, if you go from a low quality MP3 to like a lower quality MP3, like that's noticeable. Like I used to do, I can't remember what we used to do. We used to do a lossless format when we would do the split tracks. And then I think I picked it up from like listening to my very first podcast. I listened to their settings for like the one-up show, and I think they exported in mono at 80 kilobits per second was what they used.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I always held mine to was I recorded, I got everything that is, I recorded at a much higher bit rate and then lowered it down to that. So yeah, it's the whole garbage in, garbage out thing. So,
totally.
Yeah. But that's cool. I would like to at least see how that works. I mean, maybe the next time I'm on, we can try that.
Yeah, that'll definitely be something cool to try. And also, I was thinking because I'm trying to build out more or less the like the community base for it, so that there can be like live conversations like in the channel, more or less.
It seems like when we tried to do the Google Hangouts or mm-hmm. and stuff like that, it seems more like more akin to that too. So
it's the only nicer thing about it is that it's all like on the one screen, so like you don't have to monitor anything while it's recording.
Yeah,
I just type in the command and then it starts. It says, you know, Craig recording, and then it starts recording, and then that's it. It like does it during the whole thing, and then you tell it when to stop, and then it gives you the link after to download it, and the conversations can be going on, you know, in text in the background during the whole thing, and you can have just that screen up, and it's great. So I'm thinking about doing that. I've also been playing around with video again, trying to learn Twitch.
Okay.
Because I didn't much have, when I used to do videos on YouTube, I never really had much luck there. And there seems to be more of a community base with Twitch, and I've been kind of watching different feeds and trying to get the feel of it and how it works. And
now what are you using there for capturing or for streaming your stuff to Twitch?
Well, I was using XSplit.
Okay.
Until for whatever reason, I updated and the stuff was, I don't remember why it doesn't work or whatever, but it's got an issue with some of my hardware. So it won't work. I think it's 'cause my computer's dated, at this point. And then they also have like a new XSplit VCam, which the VCam, costs, oh, that's what it is. XSplit changed from a one-time buy to a monthly subscription to use.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, I'm not forking over money monthly for software. When everybody else is starting to do that, I'll find another alternative. And so I saw that they came out with a V-cam, which basically eliminates the need for a green screen. It motion tracks, like it tells you what to do. So you motion tracks like you, your chair, and then it removes digitally everything through the software with like minimal CPU usage. And it actually works. Like you can put whatever you want behind it. And I tried it, and it's a demo until you pay for it. But I was like, it's cool, but
now have you heard of OBS?
I was getting to that.
We
actually used OBS at my church. And so for on the Mac that they have there, cause we have an actual HD camera hooked up and everything through the video ports on the Mac. And so we streamed to YouTube and everything through that using OBS. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to try this. And so I downloaded OBS, set it all up, on my computer, got it set up so that I can do, the Twitch chat at the top of the OBS screen, so I can monitor the chat and everything else. If there happened to be one, that is. Figured out how to do the different sources and put the background picture and monitor everything, and I got everything set up how I want it. More or less got to create all the different scenes that I want or layouts, and but it seems to work pretty well, because I tried it out a couple times. The first time I did it, it wasn't capturing the audio from the game I was playing. So the next time I streamed, I did live video with just myself on there, like kind of in a mini window with a background, and it captured me fine. And I did figure out why the audio wasn't capturing. And so that was part of the thing I had to figure out. It was kind of a roundabout way of getting it to work anyway, but, I did get it to work, and, I really like the OBS. It's just really nice.
That's what I use when the couple of times I stream from my computer to, no, I take that back. When I streamed from my computer, yes, I used OBS. When I streamed from a console, I was using, the Elgato streaming software. But, anyway, I liked OBS. It was really, this was 6 years ago, I think, when I did it. And it was really, at the time, it was really easy to set up. There were like a ton of choices to make as far as getting it set up. Because obviously it's meant for like everything, not just certain things.
Yeah.
I miss creating content. I say this in every episode I've been on. I need to do something, but I don't do anything. I just go on and every once in a while I'll drop a little bit of my knowledge bombs or opinion bombs on Twitter every once in a while. But that's about the extent of my content creation these days.
I've been meaning to get more involved and more content kind of published, and kind of feeling out what exactly I want to put out at this point. I'm thinking like possibly like I'm going to start kind of doing a dual record of sorts, doing like a Twitch stream of like live shows of the podcast. So like if people happen to check them out on there, then great. But if not, they'll be able to get the recording like later in the week, kind of thing.
Yeah. So another thing that I've been up to is besides just living life, work's been getting better every week. It's been getting a little better. Trying for a new position there. Hopefully that one comes about sooner rather than later, because it'd be a Monday through Friday gig, which I desperately want. And at the beginning of the year, my wife got the bug to build a house. It wasn't let's find another house and move. It's let's go build the house we want. So we spent, you know, she spent January. I said, you know what? That's what I told her. I said, if you want to set up all the meetings, you want to, you know, do all the research, you want to do everything, I will go everywhere we need to go with a smile on my face, and I will do everything that we need to do. But it's entirely your thing. Because, I mean, when we bought the house we have right now, we thought that was it, you know? But apparently that's not the case anymore. and since that ended up being the thing, I told her, I said, because she always makes this joke with me. I said, okay, if we are moving into a new house, then I'm getting a new TV. That's so, because there's a running joke between us is that where I'm always like, I want to get a new TV. And she's like, you don't need a new TV. You just got one. I'm like, yeah, but this. So then I buy it, and then that ends up being, then I go, well, this is my last TV for a little while. And every time she buys a new house, she's like, this is our forever home. And, well, so yeah, I was like, okay, if we're going to do this, then I get a new TV. So she was totally fine with that. But I'm excited because it's been a very frustrating experience. And I think that just comes down to the builder. The way they set things up was kind of shady. And you know, you think when you are paying someone to build your house that they're going to help you build the house that, you know, you want to build, and that just, well, I'm still fighting with them about it. To be honest, we're getting, I'm going to say 98% of the house that we want. We're able to pick where all the outlets go, and I have Ethernet being run to every room in the house. I'm doing Ethernet instead of coaxial cable. So God forbid we ever do move, it'll be a pain in the butt for anyone to run coaxial cable anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But there's coaxial being run to the family room because why not? But none of the bedrooms upstairs have coaxial, but all of them have Ethernet. But the one thing I'm fighting with them about, and it's so bizarre to me, is I'm a home theater enthusiast. I'm building a house. I would like to pre-run speaker wire, please, so that I can hang my surround sound speakers and have it look really nice with the wires all hidden. And all I've heard is we can't do that. And I don't get that. Like, you'll run Ethernet cable and
it won't run speaker wire?
No. Like I do not understand it. And it just I've asked them at every step, and the guy that sells you the home, he's like, well, I can't answer that, but when you go in for your design decision, you know, they'll be able to answer that for you, you know. And I'm like,
that's not a good reason.
Like, okay. And it's really crappy because, so the way it works is you sign all the paperwork that says you're going to buy the house from a guy that tells you that, you know, they have the final say. Like, when you, so the way it works is you go and you talk to this guy. He basically is your realtor. He's basically selling the house, right? So you pick out a plan, you buy the house from them. He can't really tell you what can and cannot go into the house. I don't believe that's true at all. I think they can. They just try to get you to buy. They're a salesman. They're just trying to get you to buy a house. So what they do is they end up locking, or at least this company, they locked us into a contract, like, to basically, we purchased the home before we designed it. Okay. So you sign a contract to build the home, and if you back out of that contract, you owe them $20,000. Like, they don't even have to break ground. They don't have to get permits or anything. If you break that contract before they've done anything, you still owe them $20,000, and they can still turn around and sell the plot of land that you bought to build your house on. So they just get $20,000. Now, after you sign this contract, then you get to go to the design meeting. Now remember, you're stuck and you can't back out. So you go to the design meeting, and guess what? They no longer have to tell you yes. They can just tell you no, and you can't do anything about it.
Wow.
So I get in there, and the first thing I ask is, you know, can you run the speaker wire? And the lady's like, nope. I'm like, all right. And then she's like, but we can run, I don't remember what she said. She's like, we can run some type of conduit for you to put in security cameras. And I'm like,
that's the same thing, basically.
No, it's, but I'm like, it's well, not, because they're going to run the conduit back to a designated spot, which I'll get to this in a second, but I don't get to pick where the conduit is. They just run it, but I want them to run the speaker wire to a specific spot in the ceiling, right? For my surround sound speakers. So they'll run cabling for security cameras. They'll run Ethernet cable. They'll run coaxial cable. They won't run speaker wire. So then we get into this, and maybe I'm just insane here, or maybe it's just me. I don't, or maybe I'm just insane. But I feel like I felt like I was asking legit questions that any homeowner would have. Or maybe it's because most people that probably go to them probably aren't. Maybe people that go to them are first time homeowners, but it wasn't my first time being a homeowner. So I was asking them questions like they asked me, they go around, you go room by room, and they ask you where. They're like, here's where the outlets are going to go by code for power. Okay. And then they're like, we can't move any of these. That's how they go for code, but we can add outlets anywhere that you want. So, you know, you get to pick out where those go. And then you get to pick out where, like, I want my Ethernet ports to go in the room. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I asked the question, where does it run back to? Like, where's the other end of the Ethernet cable going to go? Lady says, I don't know. We don't know. And I'm like, how can you ask people to pick where these outlets go if you can't tell them where the other end is? Because, like, if it was up to me, like, there's a perfect closet in the downstairs of my new house, right? It's a centrally located closet. And if I could have had them run I could have them run a power cord, a power block in there. I could have them run a coaxial cable in there. But if I can't get them to run I can't choose where the Ethernet runs back to, I would have chosen it to run back into that closet. Because then I hide my modem and my router and everything in that closet, and you don't have to see any of it. How slick is that?
That'd be awesome.
But no, it's pick where all these outlets are going, pick where your Ethernet cable goes, and pick where your coaxial cable goes in the room, but we can't tell you where the other end of it is in the house. And then it's like they show you on the blueprint where your furnace is and where your hot water heater is. And I was like, okay, where's the electrical box going to go? And they go, well, it goes in the garage. And I said, where in the garage? We don't know.
Doesn't sound like you've got like a very good.
I was like, how do you? And I felt dumb asking these questions.
I feel like they're the dumb ones, because if they can't tell you and they build houses,
like, and I think the reason I got stuck on the breaker box is because they told me it came out that all those cables are going to run back to. And this is typical with most houses. Most of those cables like that, they come in kind of by your power box or somewhere close to it. And I remember that being a thing, because that's kind of how it was at my other houses, and that's how it is here too. So once they were like, oh, it's going to, all this stuff kind of runs back to a junction box by your fuse box, your breaker box. And I was like, okay. Well, now I'm thinking, how am I going to mount? Now I'm thinking I need to put an extra plug in the garage so that I can mount my cable modem and my router and all this other stuff in the garage right next to the power box. But they can't tell me where the fuse box is going to go. So I don't know where to tell them to put a plug. It just,
I don't know. That seems pretty asinine to me.
it infuriated me because it's just like I think at the end of the day, I feel like your fuse box is just as important as where your water heater is and where your furnace is.
Oh, I think so too. I mean, I've got in my house, I mean, granted it's old, it's got, you know, the main power in the garage, but it runs to a breaker box that's down in our basement with a plug next to it.
See, and that's, so I ended up putting like a couple more plugs in the garage, and I'm going to make it work, you know, with whatever I've got to do. And when they come out, like I said, I also said, well, where typically does the cable company come into the house? And they couldn't tell me that either. But some people at work that have built houses or are familiar with how that process goes, it all comes in by the power box. So wherever the cable company is going to come in, my cable is going to run into my garage and then go into a splitter to the rest of the house, which that's fine. But if I had the option to pick where I wanted everything to run to, like it would have been in that closet. And I had to flat out tell them, because I read stories all the time about how the younger generation, they're not buying houses. And it's like, I was like, I'm not going to be the only one asking these questions about a connected home. You guys are going to be trying to sell houses to people that are younger than me. They're going to be asking these types of questions for a connected home. And you can't tell them that you don't know. Like, you have to be able to answer these questions.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. If I was going to have a new house built, I would definitely want it completely, like, wired for, like, I would want plugs so that I have, like, the USB built into them. I would want the Ethernet cords all around the house. I mean,
well, see, some of the stuff, like, I did something really cool. I put an Ethernet port and plugs above my kitchen cabinets. So I can do, like, some fancy lighting, and I'm going to put one of my Google Wi-Fi routers in the kitchen, like, above the cabinets.
Nice.
So, but, like, so some of the, like, I got a lot of the stuff we did, we just went with what they gave us, so, because it's cheaper for us to go and buy the replacement things. Like to replace all the outlets with USB plugs. Like here's something crazy. All right. To pre-wire an outlet or to do a pre-wire for a ceiling fan was $250 to do a pre-wire for a ceiling fan. Okay.
Really?
Okay. Hang on. You say that right now. Wait, I'm gonna blow your mind here for a second. For them to put a light in a bedroom with, you know, with an actual light fixture, not just running wiring for a light, but to put a light fixture in a bedroom with a switched light in a bedroom was $125. So what did we do? We had them put the switched light in every single bedroom because I'll just go and replace all those lights with fans.
Wow.
It's $250 to do a pre-wire, which doesn't even, they're not installing a fan or a light. Or $125 to install a light on a switch.
That you can put, spend the other $125 and get
on a fan.
A fan.
Yeah.
I even installed, like, when I first moved into this house, like, I installed a fan in my youngest son's bedroom, and I had to buy the mount kit just so that I could get it so that it would support the weight up there, and I did it. I mean, it took, like, maybe a half hour.
I mean, so yeah, I like we did a lot of things we did because I'm capable of changing out everything ourselves. Like I'll go, like once we get in there and we get things like situated, I know that, you know, I'll be like, okay, that plug right there is close enough for us to put a USB thing in. I'll go and do that. You know, I'll take care of that. I'm going to replace all the light fixtures anyways, because I don't know what you about you, but I feel like every single light fixture in any house was designed in the 70s and never updated.
Yep.
Like, I don't get it. It doesn't matter which house I've been in. Every light looks like it's from the 70s. So now the one thing I am kind of mad about is, like, I had this, we like the, we don't get me wrong. We like the floor plan of the house. We love the house. I'm just hung up on the speaker wire, which our roundabout there, which I've been told by a number of people, which is just go run the speaker wire right before they put the drywall up, just go run the speaker wire yourself. And so that's probably what I'm going to end up doing. And then what pisses me off is I'm going to run the speaker wire myself, and then I'm going to have to put holes in the brand new drywall.
Like, yeah.
It's just irritating. Like I'm going to have this brand new house and I'm gonna have to put holes in it. Like, it. Anyways, moving on. So now the one thing I'm mad at myself about, which is easily correctable, is I had this when we were getting the when we were designing the house. I'm really good at visualizing what I want, and the family room is big enough that I thought I could get two spaces out of it. Like, I could get my home theater space, and I could get an entertaining space. All right. I won't go into how that worked or anything like that. So when we put all the outlets in, I had them put all the outlets in how I wanted the room to be set up at that time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, after we had finalized everything a couple weeks later, I was thinking about it and I was like, you know, I want to shift everything 90 degrees and I want to put it on this other wall, but that other wall doesn't have any of the outlets on it. But the positive side is that wall has two electrical outlets on it, which is perfect. And that wall is also shared with the garage. So it'll be really easy for me to run an Ethernet cord to, like, straight through the garage into the family room. So it's not the end of the world for me to have to make those changes myself after the fact. I'm just more hung up on the whole they won't run the speaker wire. It just blows my mind. And then, of course, like I said, you can't, they can tell you no and you can't do anything about it because I don't have $20,000 to just set on fire.
Yeah.
So it's a bummer. But we've got, like, plans. We've got lots of cool plans. We're gonna smart home it up. I've got a bunch of Nest, like, new Nest products picked out. And then I've been keeping my eye. This is the laziest thing ever. But I've been keeping my eye on the IKEA smart blinds.
Okay.
They were supposed to come out on April 1st. Ha ha ha.
Are those the ones that you can control kind of like you would, like, your light fixtures or,
yep,
or plugs?
Yep.
And they'll open and close based on, yep, a remote?
Yeah. So we have our family room is one of the choices we made. The family room could either have one big window or it could have three regular size windows. And we chose three regular size windows because it gives you a bigger view out the back of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to put in three smart blinds on those windows. And then the TV is going to be opposite those windows. So there'll be blackout blinds. And of course you can, like, I'll be able to hit a button on my phone that says I'm going to watch a movie and the blinds will come down and, you know, I'll be able to do all that stuff. So I'm excited to get to try that out. So,
yeah, that sounds like quite an adventure. Didn't realize there could be that many headaches involved with having a house built.
And that's the other thing I told them too. I said I didn't think running speaker wire in a house that I was building was going to be harder than running speaker wire in a house that already existed. Like, I flat out said that to them, and they don't flinch. They don't care. They know that they've got, you know, they've already got you. You know, they don't have to do anything for you at that point. It sucks.
Yeah, I can definitely tell that's.
But we're past it. We've got everything picked out. We've got everything the way that we want it. We know what we're going to slowly change out, you know, after we move in, because we wanted to keep the cost down. We've got a nice 12-foot by 12-foot patio out the back. And we've got, like, three, you know, we've got three bedrooms upstairs with a loft. And it'll be really nice when all is said and done. And we're really excited. We're in contract on our current home, which means we've quote unquote technically sold it. So we're ready. Our house is supposed to be ready in about, I've been told it could be ready as early as July, but I'm thinking it's going to be like September. So we've got that to look forward to this year. And then I know what everyone's been dying to listen, dying for, the TV. I decided that I am finally going to go for an OLED TV. I'm done. I mean, as much as I love my Vizios and I love my P series, like, I'm done effing around. I've done a lot of research in the last 3 years on OLED TVs, and I believe I am ready to take the plunge.
Okay.
And so I've elected the LG C9, which is the OLED that came out this year. I'm going to pick that one up because it has a lot of, it's a little more future proof than the current model, the C8, and it has more video game features built into it that I'm really going to want in the future. So yeah, that was my gift for myself for my wife building a new house, us moving into a new house. I'm finally going to take the plunge on an OLED TV. So
yeah, I'm still using my old plasma, which I'll keep until it dies.
I did before. I remember it was like, I think it was like 6 or 8 months before Vizio released their first 4K TV. I was going to go plasma, and I had it picked out, but it was also the same year. It was like 2014, which is also the last year that they were manufacturing plasmas. And so I just, then Vizio announced their 4K TVs and how cheap they were going to be. So I was like, well, I guess I'm not going plasma. I kind of regret not going plasma, but at the same time, I don't regret it because whatever. What you don't know, you don't know. And I, like I said, I think I'm just as much of a videophile as I am, and as much as a film purist. And I think I need to just do it instead of just messing around with how many dimming zones a TV has. I need to go from, like, you know, a TV that has like 200 to a TV that has 8 million.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Like having a big monumental change.
So the and I haven't gone to look at it yet, but the B of it all is my buddy that I work with, he lives 5 houses down from me. And he came over a couple months ago, and I was talking to him about, you know, I told him I was going to get an OLED TV after we moved into our new house. And he said, oh, really? You think that's wise? Because, you know, you hear about burn-in and all this other stuff. And I said, I don't really think that's anything to, like, worry about, the way that I cycle through content. And lo and behold, 2 weeks ago, he sends me a message. He went out and bought the OLED C8. And I was like, because it's on a real steep, I mean, it's still expensive, but it's on a real steep sale, like more than 50% off right now. And I was like, I hate you so much right now. So
gotta show it off.
But I haven't been over to look at it. Like, I do want to go look at it, but I don't want to go look at it. Because if I go look at it, I'm going to want it, like, right now. And if I don't go look at it, I can at least, like, still enjoy what I've got. So
you don't get that instant envy then.
Yeah. Like I've got it bad enough just knowing that he has it and I don't. So.
Well, it'll be interesting to hear more of your adventures of having your house built. I've always been curious about that whole process anyway, so.
Well, like I said, the other thing that sucks is once you leave that design meeting, you can't make any changes. Quote unquote, can't make any changes. Everything is finalized.
I feel like that's such a, like, cop out answer for them. Like, well, because you're the one that's forking over the money to have it built in the first place. I get, like, nothing major should happen, but, like, if you want, like, some little tweak here or there, like.
So, what I've been told from people that have built their own homes is that And even the guy that sold us the home said that said this too. He said that when I meet with the contractor, I can ask the con, like, I have one more shot at getting them to run the speaker wire, more or less. I can ask the contractor if they can run the speaker wire. Like, and if he says no, then I just need to go do it myself. So there's still a shot, because like, I'm not at, like, I have all the materials, I have all the fittings, I have the speaker. I'm not asking them to supply the speaker wire or anything like that. You know, I'm not adding anything to the build cost. So there's still a chance, but I'm just saying, like, it's not something that they let me choose at the design setting, and then I don't have to worry about it ever again. You know, like, it's just, it's a bummer. So, but I'm excited. We're excited because it's the house that, like, whenever we've moved into a house, we've always had, like, these ideas of how to, like, things that we wanted to do, like, down the road. Like, we wanted to remodel the kitchen. We wanted to remodel the bathrooms, you know, these types of things. And now it's like, since we had all those thoughts and those plans already in our heads from past homes, we just went into this, and the design process was so easy. It was just like, well, we know what we want it to be, because it's what we've always wanted our homes to be. Whichever one we've lived in, we've always wanted to do this exact same thing. So
you just get to have it from the get-go.
Exactly. So
yeah, we've had the opportunity, you could say, to have our bathroom remodeled and certain other places in the house because things have broken or had an issue, and so we're like, well, it's got to be gutted anyway, so might as well. And like, what was it, a month ago, my oldest decided to open up the playroom window. And mind you, it was, you know, a good brisk 20 some degrees, because he wanted to wave at the school bus as it went by one of the weekdays. And being that I, you know, was unemployed, I was up there with the kids, you know, and I was running around the house taking care of stuff. And all of a sudden I hear a shunk, and I was like, and then I hear like that. And I go running, and the boy had opened up the window and forgotten the fact that that window's broken. Like the plastic clips that hold it in place. And so the window came down on his hand, which he was lucky that the front facing window blocked the, was blocked by the back window that came down. So it only got like his fingertips with the back window, but had the other window come down, it probably would have broken his hand.
Ooh.
But it got stuck on its way down on the other window, the other half the window. So like, you know, I go up there and he's holding his hand and there's nothing bleeding, but he's, you know, screaming, and I'm trying to get the window back up real quick before we run him to urgent care, which they said nothing was wrong and he was fortunate. But yeah, so we were like, yeah, we were holding off on that window because we couldn't really afford it, and I was, you know, being unemployed, that's not something we wanted to spend money on, but we're like, eh, it's a safety problem now. So we're like, you know, because the tax returns came back, and we're like, I guess that's where that's going. And so we had a couple companies come out, and of course our kitchen window is in the same state, although the back window doesn't come down, just the front facing one, so it's only one window that comes down, not both. We leave both those windows locked so that, you know, they don't come crashing down. And so we had to have those replaced. And while we were at it, the front bow window that we have has, every time somebody comes door to door looking to put windows in, they want to give us an estimate on it. And it's always like $2,300 for the front window on its own. And we're like, since I already had these window guys there, I was like, how much would it be to, cause there's no airflow. Like the people that lived here before us broke the mechanisms and everything had to do with opening the windows and took the screens out and put like, basically cemented plexiglass in there so that they'll never open again. And I was like, how much would it be to replace the front window? Because you had to have three windows. They make you have three windows, that you have to replace at a time. And in order to get, you know, they just won't come out unless you have three windows. And we were going to get another window replaced that didn't honestly need it. And I says, what about the bow window? I says, how much would it be to get that tacked on along with the other two windows and get it replaced as a flat window that opened on both sides that we could have decent airflow, because our air conditioners also broke. And so they looked at it and they did all the measurements and everything, and it's coming in, you know, for under $2,000, we're going to get all of it, which this particular company beat the other companies we talked to by a significant amount, because it was early enough in the season that they were like, you know, willing to make deals.
Okay.
And we're, you know, we're doing like the free advertisement front lawn ornament type thing, and, you know, the sign in the front yard and all this other stuff. And so, so yeah, and, you know, sometime either the end of this month or beginning of next month, they'll have the windows manufactured and they'll be coming out to install them.
That's cool.
So it'll be nice. We'll get a nice airflow before summer hits. If I don't find a job somewhere out of state before then, but
that's the one thing I've always wanted with any house I've been in is brand new windows. Like every house we've been in, I've done a lot to maintain their, like, to keep them somewhat energy efficient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we keep the, like, year round. In the summer, we set our thermostat, we set the AC to about 75, 78. And in the winter, we keep the heat at about 63 in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just, you know, we've got an extra blanket on the couch, and we wear hoodies and sweatshirts. And then, of course, in the summer, you know, you wear shorts and tank tops, and you get rid of all the extra blankets.
Sounds like us in our house.
Yeah, and I've got LED lights and stuff like that. So, like, our electric bills, like, when I hear people talk about their bills and their usage and stuff like that, like, at work, it's just like, it's like, dang, what do you guys, holy cow. Like, you know, like, I'm so shocked by what they have. And, like, when we went in for the design meeting for our new house, the guy, like, quoted us, like, what an estimate on our utilities would probably be. And I'm like, how? What? Like, because you think, like, brand new home, you know, like, it's going to be, like, the most energy efficient, you know, thing. And it's just, like, and it's always, like, I guess that's, like, what it is for, like, a typical home. And so I'm, like, I'm really interested to see, like, when you've got brand new siding and insulation and brand new windows, like, I'm interested to see, you know, where we come in at. With our utilities and stuff like that, because like all my LED lights and all that stuff is coming over to the house, and you know, we'll have brand new everything. So it'll be the one thing I really 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 want to do is on my list of upgrades for the home is we have our we're getting a water heater, a standard water heater, and it's electric, and it goes in this we're not getting a basement, so it's just on a slab.
Mm-hmm.
So the door that would be to your basement stairs is obviously that's under the stairs that go to the second floor. That's where the water heater goes. All right. And so that's just, it's a hole under the stairs that just has a water heater in it. And one of the things I've always wanted since I've been a homeowner was a tankless hot water heater. And if I can get an electric tankless hot water heater and put it in that room, that closet, I get that closet back. Like, that's amazing. So, like, I've always wanted a tankless hot water heater, because I never liked the idea. No one ever likes the idea of running out of hot water.
No,
it's just the worst. So, that's one of the things is like. It's like high on my. It's like the top five things I really want to do after we move into the house is I want to get a tankless hot water heater, because I want to see how low I can get my utility bills and things like that. But yeah, I'm sure everyone is thrilled to hear us talk this in depthly about home ownership. oh, and this house, especially that I'm in right now, the windows are shot. All the windows in this house were shot. And I'm fairly certain that this house was the model for this subdivision. It was one of the model homes. So I don't think it was ever meant. It was never built with habitation in mind. Like the seals around the windowsill, like inside the house, they weren't and still are not appropriately sealed. So if you get a strong wind,
you'll feel it.
You can feel it coming in from the bottom of the window.
Yeah, that's kind of like my house then, because my house was one of the first built on our block too.
Yeah, and what I did with like after we moved in is I went and got some caulk, and I caulked in this line, and that cut it way down. But you can totally tell that this house was not made for it to be. It was made to be shown and not inhabited. And when they did convert it for habitants, they didn't go back and
fix anything.
Button it up and make it. And I'm not saying it's like uninhabitable by any means. I'm just saying they didn't make it like they were.
They cut corners.
Yes, they cut corners on it. Yeah. So I'm definitely excited to see how things shake out when we get over there. And I'm just excited about everything. Everything's gonna be brand new. I've never had a brand new house.
Yeah, me neither. I'm still living in my quad, which is a nightmare as far as electric and heating and gas and everything else. So it doesn't hold temperatures well. And I mean, I've cut down some of it because I've switched everything to LED lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Just as light bulbs burn out, I just buy LED bulbs, which I think pretty much every bulb in the house is LED now. And I had a really weird, because I was using those halogen, compact fluorescent light bulbs in my office for a while. And I discovered that because they weren't like natural light color, they were killing my eyes because with working from home previously, it was painful to sit in my office. And when I switched to daylight color LED lighting, it made a world of difference. Like I can sit in my office all day and it doesn't bother me anymore. My eyes don't feel like they're going to fall out of my head. I had to wear my glasses, and even then it was bad. Like I can sit here now and I don't even have to wear them. And it's habitable in my basement. And they're bright too, which is really nice.
So, all right, let's move on from this adult talk, this adult conversation.
Yeah. Alrighty. So, where can the people get a hold of you on Twitter?
I am at BoothNinja81.
And I am at SCP21. And, if you guys have any suggestions for content, just let us know, at Altered Geek or at SCP21 or, at BoothNinja81. So, until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Bye.
Bye.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.